Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet, the only podcast that uses real science to answer the questions that you actually have. Things like, why is the sky the way it is? Why does the ground do that thing it does? And when did all lives begin to matter? My name is Alex Lathbridge. I'm your host. With me today, I've got, as always, Oz Ismail.
Hey, hey.
And Sahel Patel.
What up, fools?
One of these men knows a lot about science. One of these men knows a lot about currency used in chicken shops. I'll let you decide who is who. But today we are talking news.
News.
What have you guys seen in the week?
Some shit has happened.
Okay, so I saw some news that was, again, very cutting edge, but also very annoying, some maybe slightly upsetting, and also controversial. So some scientists have developed artificial intelligence that they claim can read faces and determine if the person is gay.
Mm, wow. Some gaydar, basically.
Basically, they've developed a real gaydar using artificial intelligence. Now, at the surface, this story looks very like it's sort of, I don't know. Is it cool? It's not cool. It's not cool. Because basically, straight away, what I thought was, okay, this is kind of propagating this idea that you can judge people based on their appearance. That's not okay on any level. But then if you go a little bit deeper, this is actually, if it is true, if this actually works the way they say it does, this is a problem because there are a lot of countries still where it's illegal to be gay.
Yeah.
And if this gets into the wrong hands,
it could be used.
Yeah, they could completely use it to start, you know, torture of gay people is already happening, to kind of justify it almost, or like use it as a tool to kind of carry out this torture.
So
I've been reading a bit about this, and on one hand, the study itself, it's not flawed, but it just used a very small sample size and a selection, if you like.
Okay, so explain, what did they do in the study?
So they went on, I think they took social media and dating profiles, but when they did select these people, they were all white men, and they used profiles that had things that they'd like, you know, gay stuff, basically. Okay. Like gay and fabulous, pages that are named like that. Or they use dating sites where, and it was only using men who are white and out. And using photos from dating sites and even Facebook, people only put sort of the most attractive version of themselves. So what the artificial intelligence has done, if I understand this correctly, is it's used a lot of features from these pictures and decided what counts as a gay feature. And what some people argue is that it tends to lean towards more sort of feminine features to say that a person is gay or not.
Is it linked to like hormones and stuff, like people's hormones? And
well, so that comes in separately. So this the artificial intelligence itself only just literally uses a picture of a person. So it kind of tries to learn what is a gay feature.
Yeah.
But you could argue that that's all that's doing is kind of taking us backwards and saying, oh, if you look a certain way, you're gay. Or it's propagating an unrealistic sort of sense of what it is to be like an attractive gay man, which is not healthy.
So you're saying it's subjective to agree to degrees, isn't it?
Like, yeah. So mm. what? So as I understand it, you've taken a piece of software and sort of this artificial intelligence, so sort of machine learning, and so you've trained it to recognize features.
Mm-hmm.
So they've taken images of people that they've said are gay, and only men who are white male.
Yeah.
And they've said, okay, this is the way that gay people look.
Yeah. And also, there are certain other sort of, I don't want to call them flaws, but maybe they're flaws. So it only takes people who are known to be gay or known to be not gay. So already there's like a 50-50 chance. So it doesn't mean that the software 100% works, but it's leaning towards that let's take a person's appearance, surface appearance, and make some kind of judgments about what they are.
I think there's this weird fascination with it. Like, there's been obviously, like, you know, I said gaydar. I mean, the idea, the concept of being able to tell if someone's gay straight away, like, has existed.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's the fascination in it? I think, you know, people... All of us exist on a spectrum. There's like a Kinsey, it called? The Kinsey scale, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think it's so black and white.
Like, first of all, what is the purpose of this?
Yeah.
And the only thing for me, I get really defensive about this and go, this can be abused and this is really bad in, you know, places where it's not.
It's like a witch hunt almost in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going back to a place where we're going to make judgments about people based on appearance. It applies not just to gay or straight, but also are they going to start looking at, like, they already say that they can use this technology to determine your IQ, to determine if you're more likely to commit a crime.
Yeah.
Like, all based on appearance. Like, that's really dangerous to teach a software to do that.
So at least in this instance, they've messed up a bit because they've only used sample images from white males.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we know fully that there are no brown people who are gay. Just culturally, we don't do that, right?
It doesn't exist.
Who
are these people? Why would they exist?
Yeah.
But say they did exist.
My girlfriend's in Canada.
Yeah, I use Grindr to make friends.
Yeah, I need to, like, diversify my friend pool.
For FIFA.
Yeah.
It's research.
FIFA. So they're going to be based on white features. So you're saying that in these countries that already do torture people or don't have very good LGBT+ rights, what... I mean, this software is in early stages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, although it could then be expanded out to hit, you know, non-white people.
Yeah.
Right now, at least we're safe, but the idea is scary as fuck.
The idea is very scary from a safety point of view, but also from a mental health... Let's look at it from a mental health point of view, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there is also some research been done recently that says that actually men have... men of today have a huge problem with their self-image, their body image, more than women. And it's because... we're propagating this idea of what it is to be an ideal man, an ideal woman. Like, what is that? Where does that come from? And what it's really doing is it's making a lot of us, both men and women, mentally unhealthy because we're constantly trying to achieve these unachievable, ideal body images. But that does beg the question: what is this ideal body image, and where does it come from?
What is your ideal body image?
I don't know. Like, I'd say one that is of me, preferably PNG, JPEG.
TIFF, bro.
I want a high quality file. You can't compress this beauty. I mean, I'm inherently attractive as a man.
Very humble too.
No, honestly, as a woman, I'd be attractive as well. However I identified, I'd be Peng.
Another word I've learned.
So you know,
that's my ideal.
So, like, Superdrug did this project called Perceptions of Perfection, where they took a picture of an average man and an average woman.
Yeah.
And they gave it to many different countries, to artists of many different countries. And they asked groups of artists to kind of use Photoshop to turn this man and this woman what they thought was ideal. And it's very telling when you look at these images.
They're really different, aren't they?
Very different.
Yeah.
And what struck me was when I looked at the men, the one of the states. Oh my God, like this man, they turned an average man into like this muscular, symmetrical person that didn't even reflect the original person.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the symmetricalness of it, like what is it in
like it's the idea of perfection, isn't it? Or like, you know, I guess you're right. I think it's cultural, 100%. Because like when I think about it, to be honest, I love a fat booty. You know what I'm saying?
I do understand what you are saying.
Give me some booty.
But what I want to know is there science in attractiveness? What is the science of attractiveness?
But look, as long as we're talking about booties, it's all good.
Okay,
I'm down.
We're going to jump straight into the discussion.
Booty science.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, discussion for today.
Yeah.
Is there a science behind attractiveness?
I think there is. I don't know it myself. Maybe you can enlighten me.
Is there a science behind attractiveness?
I mean, there are a lot of studies, that surprising number of studies that people actually do. First of all, I was actually surprised that people do get funded to do this. It's great. But also some of the studies are brilliant. So there is, what is attractive? Attractiveness is so many different things, okay?
Yeah.
For some people, it's say depending on like what gender you are as well, like how fat you are, how thin you are, what size like certain organs are, like what boob size, penis size, like there's a whole, and then also like facial features, how symmetrical your face is. There's so many things.
Okay, so let's break it down because you said a lot of big words there that you've used. I'm going to say more than one syllable.
Oh. That's very confusing for me.
Even the word syllable is confusing for Sahil.
Break it down.
Okay.
Break it down, G.
Syllable. But let's start with men finding women attractive.
Yes.
So one study points out that women with a waist to hip ratio of 0.7, that's the most attractive. You can break it down into a science.
Wow.
Waist to hip ratio of 0.7.
Mm. And how many women fit into this?
I'm going to say not a lot. Mm.
Mm.
So like in some countries, like you said, yeah. Tao, yeah. Like you like a booty, it's cultural.
Yeah.
In some countries, a waist to hip ratio of 0.9.
Interesting. I'm more 0.72. I'm very particular.
He's got a particular value he likes.
Okay. Do you measure the women you date?
Absolutely. It's the first thing I do.
Wow.
Take out the protractor, get the tape, single. Measurer.
Are you single?
It's complicated.
Okay.
That's the thing.
Maybe stop measuring people. It won't be so complicated.
Because we've gone for that idea of the hourglass figure, but actually it's a lot more fluid.
Yeah,
that.
But to be fair, I never really think about that. Like, I don't think a girl... I'll look at... person who I find attractive and I'll be like, oh yeah, they're attractive, but I don't think, oh wow, they got a weight ratio of 0.72. like, that's not actually a thing you do, is it? It's just all subconscious.
But when you look at someone, like, what we are humans, we do look at someone and we make some judgments about people, right? Where does, like, attractiveness is subjective. But like historically,
yeah,
there were like reasons why some women were like considered attractive or some men were considered attractive.
Fertility, I guess, or yeah. whatever.
So there's one study which, I say there are a lot of studies, but there's one such feature that's been looked at. So breast size in women.
Mm-hmm. What about men?
I'm sorry, not in men, but sort of the idea of women as the resource gatherers.
Yeah.
So the idea that larger breasts are more attractive to men, especially men from low socioeconomic sort of factors. So
really?
Yeah, man. So what they're saying is, well, that girl has big breasts.
Yeah.
Therefore, she has access to resources.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a good idea to be with someone like her.
Mm. But isn't it traditionally the men are the resource bringers?
Yeah, but at the same time, man, like no one wants to see your boobs. But no one wants that.
I thought we were segueing into that. We discussed this before.
No, we did not. So there's something incredibly fascinating when we turn to look at men, what's attractive in men. So
just take a look at Exhibit A, bro.
Well, we might actually have to. We're going to do a little experiment.
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
Guys, take a look at your hands.
I left them at home.
All right. Pick a hand, any hand. Let's go with your right hand.
Which one is that again?
It's the one on the right.
Okay, I've got
it. So, look at your ring finger. That's your little finger. Look at your ring finger.
Oh, yeah.
That's your index finger. Look at your... There we go. All right.
Nailed now, it.
Oh, fuck. Now, look at your index finger.
Yeah.
Is your index bigger than your ring, or is your ring bigger than your index?
That's that one, yeah.
Okay.
They're almost the same size. Although I have mangled hands...
I'm finding this is very complicated. Okay,
you can put all your fingers up, yeah? Just have to compare the height.
Okay. This one is bigger than that one.
Which one's bigger than what?
That one.
You have to say it.
My ring finger is larger than my index finger.
So it's longer?
Yes, that's the one.
Mine look the same.
Okay. So something interesting there. It's called the 2D to 4D ratio. And so...
I watched a movie in 4D once. It's good.
Yep, that's what time will do for you. But it's actually really interesting. So a very select study sort of said that that's linked to the amount of testosterone that you receive in the womb.
Okay.
These hormones. And it's actually said that that can correlate to penis size.
Oh, so...
Oh, wow.
So if you've got a longer... If your ring finger is longer than your index finger, chances are you have a bigger penis.
I can verify that. I have a penis.
So
don't get your penis out. It's not that kind of show.
Listen, I've already had it out this whole time.
Oh, no. Put it away then.
But that's the thing. And that's really interesting. I hope everyone at home is doing this.
Yeah, but...
Everyone
like,
take
okay,
your penis
okay,
out.
Okay, so this study... Let's get into this study, okay?
No, these studies are all flawed. These studies are all inherently
flawed. But this is what I mean. Like
they're all bad.
I mean, this study... The way they did this study, okay... is they got someone, they anaesthetized men, then they got them to, someone to measure their flaccid penis.
That sounds like fun.
And then they got them to stretch it out and measure it again. Yeah.
That, I would not want to be the one doing that experiment.
But people volunteered for this to happen.
Well, I wouldn't mind having my penis stretched. I wouldn't want to be doing this.
But
stretching.
It's all under anaesthesia. It's like, sounds slightly like, fiddly.
Yeah.
But then this whole 2D, 4D ratio thing, doesn't that also have like correlations to attractiveness based on body odor and based on many other things?
So many things.
Yeah. How accurate is it though?
Like, not at all. Honestly,
I smell like vanilla and fried chicken.
This is true.
But then, okay, let's take something that's, because attractiveness is always going to be subjective, okay? It's things like, and this is my problem with what I said earlier about the news story with using this face recognition technology.
Yeah.
Is it's taking people's like dating profiles where they make themselves look really attractive and they propagate this idea that this is what it is to be an attractive gay man.
Mm.
It's a very unhealthy thing to promote.
Mm.
When I go online on a dating profile, it's either all torsos of muscular men or the ones that do have faces. All have facial hair. Now all three of us have beards.
Do you want to jump us?
I mean, I have locked you in a room.
Hey.
It's quite hot.
There ain't nothing wrong.
And also, he has already admitted to having his penis out the whole time, so I don't even have to try very hard.
Yeah, that's true.
But beards, okay, beards can be attractive, easy, right?
Beards can be attractive. And, like, what is it about the beard? Like, is it the fact that it suggests that you're quite, like, testosterone-y? Or, like, is it a masculine thing? Or is it just you trying to hide some, like, features that you don't like? Like, people have beards for different reasons.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. People have beards a lot of the time. I mean, it's in fashion now.
Is it, though? It's like hipsterism is, like, dying.
It's become too in vogue.
We've passed peak beard. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, completely.
Peak I mean, I mean, like, that's why I have a beard, because it's not, like, not cool anymore, because I don't follow trends.
okay. So,
I'm 2 years late to all fashion
trends. So some people think beards are attractive, some people don't. It's inherently subjective. But one thing, men, women, no, whoever you're attracted to, both can agree on, is apparently symmetrical faces.
Yeah. People, okay.
You go for people with symmetrical faces.
Mm. Interesting. So, like, when that study I said earlier about the super drug one, it's funny you say that, because the States, they make the man look so symmetrical to the point where he looked like a Ken doll.
Yeah, you want a bit of, like, it's those imperfections in people that make them interesting.
Yeah, right. Makes them who they are.
Like,
yeah.
I tried this once, right? I put my face into one of those kind of face editing softwares. And then I tried, like, divided it in half and made a mirror image of my face. And I don't know if I liked it.
It's weird. Yeah. You don't have all of the bits of you.
Yeah.
So based off of that, based off of these things that we've talked about, do you think science can make you more attractive? Do you think that beards are more attractive?
Again, it's subjective. Like, I like beards for certain length. If it's, like, really long, it depends on the guy. Like, some guys can pull it off. But then that's my kind of perception. I think that guy's attractive with a long beard.
Yeah.
Somebody else might be like, no, that's not attractive. Someone else might be like, no, that's really attractive.
I think human... like attractive, like, or I think it's more complex than that. I think it's like, if someone's funny, for example, then it makes them more attractive in other ways.
Like, this is true.
Oh, you know? Is this, yeah, okay, yeah, I see what you meant.
So for me, like, beards on ladies, maybe not the ideal situation.
It's all about personality.
But, you know, personality, yeah, man.
Like, so or sometimes, like, some people can have, like, one feature about them. Like their eyes or their teeth.
Yeah.
That are just like...
elbows.
Well, I'm afraid that eyes, teeth, or elbows, none of these things are on the science reading list that I've read through this week, and so we cannot discuss them.
So what are we discussing?
Right now, we're going to wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Okay.
Do you think science can teach us about what it is to be attractive?
I don't think so. I think attractiveness changes through time, through seasons, and it's always going to be subjective.
So how?
I think we can start to understand what it means to be attractive or be attracted to someone in a scientific term. But yeah, I agree with Ozzy. I think it changes and it's largely cultural, subjective. So I don't think it's a simple thing to explain necessarily.
We have two very vague answers from two...
No, motherfucker.
We've got two very vague answers from one very smart and one very... experienced man.
Yes, I'll take that.
I didn't say which was which. They could have been both,
yeah,
the same person.
Hell.
Yeah,
so I'm full of yourself.
I'm very...
you're attractive, or you're full of yourselfness.
Well, we'll never know.
We'll never know. Great mystery.
So we'll never know if science can really make us more attractive.
Maybe science can.
But we aren't going to discuss it right now.
Okay.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. I've been Alex Athbridge.
I'm Oz.
Sue the Shoe.
And this is Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? Thank you, goodbye.
Bye.
So you might be thinking, oh my God, how do I hear more about this amazing podcast that combines humor, entertainment, pop culture, and cutting edge science? Or you might be thinking, oh wow, these guys are geniuses and I have questions that only they can answer. Or you might be thinking, oh wow, these guys aren't even real doctors and I know way more about science than them and I want them to know this, so how do I let them know this as quickly as possible? So what you've got to do for us right now is leave us an iTunes review. I know you hear it everywhere, but it's super important because we want that sweet internet validation. Or you can send us your questions or comments by email. It's at whynotadoc@gmail.com. And if you want to stay up to date with what we're doing, you can go by social media. It's at whynotadoc on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Remember, iTunes review, follow us on social media, annoy us by email. Thanks.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.